We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy "Twas the Night Before Christmas," suspense style. But first, on the lighter side, it's the Eddie Cantor Show. The Eddie Cantor Show was one of the biggest blockbusters of early radio. Cantor was one of the first great stars of vaudeville and burlesque to make it big in radio, almost a year ahead of Jolson, Wynn, Fred Allen, and Jack Benny, and 3 years ahead of Crosby, seven ahead of Bob Hope. By September of 1931, Cantor was on the air regularly with his own program, The Chase and Sanborn Hour. Cantor was off the air again in 1939. For a year, he was virtually blacklisted after branding some U.S. officials as fascists, but NBC brought him back in the fall of 1940 with a show called Time to Smile for Sal Hepatica. In 1944, broadcasting out of KPO San Francisco, Cantor did a 24-hour marathon for war bonds, raising more than $28,000 a minute for a grand total of $40 million. In 1946, Cantor moved to Pabst Blue Ribbon, where he continued until 1949. Thereafter, Cantor moved to television with the Colgate Comedy Hour of 1950. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Eddie Cantor Show from December 20th of 1944. Another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy.
The following program is rebroadcast by the Armed Forces Radio Service to our fighting men overseas. Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health, present the Eddie Cantor Show. With Nora Martin, Burt Gordon, our Russian friend, Billy Gray, Leonard Seuss's orchestra, yours truly, Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We start our half hour with Leonard Seuss and the orchestra, Nora Martin and I giving out with...
Well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. I dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago. And though it's a dream, I never dreamed she'd ever say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold her tight when the moonbeam shines. My dreams are getting better all the time. Well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago. And though it's a dream, I never dreamed she'd say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold her tight when the moonbeam shines. My dreams are getting better all the time, sweetheart. Those dreams
our dreams are getting better all the time.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, I'm so happy to have you back this week.
Yeah, I know, Eddie. I was a fool to quit you.
You were, Harry.
Yeah, so near Christmas. Yeah. Hey, Eddie, wait till you see the present I got you this year. Men's cologne.
No, Harry, please, not the same cologne you got me last Christmas. I'll never forget what I went through after sprinkling that stuff on me. What was the name of it?
I'll Walk Alone.
That's what I had to do, brother. Nobody would get near me.
Was it that bad?
Harry, once while I was wearing that stuff, I walked past a skunk. You know what he did?
What?
Pulled off his white stripe, hung it on a stick, and waved unconditional surrender. Harry, I do appreciate the spirit with which you give your presents. And speaking of Christmas, let's give the people a preview of some of Santa Claus's stops this year. You be Santa, and I'll be the people he meets.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, Santa's on his way. His first stop is a sailor in California, yay.
Merry Christmas, sailor. Merry Christmas, sailor.
Merry Christmas, old-timer.
Where are you stationed, son?
Oh, Santa, I've been pretty lucky. I got stationed right here at Santa Monica. My barracks is just a stone's throw from Hedy Lamarr's window.
Well, well, what do you want for Christmas, sailor?
A stone.
Santa Claus, spreading joy and glee, puts the brakes on his reindeer at Washington, D.C.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Did I wake you up bright and early?
No, bright's still asleep. I'm Steve Early.
You remind me of a corny guy I know on the radio. Name rhymes with Santa.
Wait. Tell me, what is it this year, Santa Claus?
Well, I have a present for the president's grandchildren. A toy train.
Sorry, we can't accept a toy train. The one you brought last year looked too real.
What do you mean?
Every time the train stopped, Eleanor tried to get on.
Jingle bells, Santa gets around. Now he stops a German in a captured Nazi town.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
What is it you say, Merry Christmas?
Well, I'm Santa Claus. I come down people's chimney.
Oh, you're too late. My chimney came down before you.
Why, look here. You mean you're not looking forward to Christmas? Aren't you going to hang up your stocking?
In Germany, we don't even have a stocking. I am the original Nazi with a hole in your stocking.
Well, now, what would you like to hang up for Christmas?
Adolf.
Jingle bell, Santa's on the go. Now we find him talking to a Jap from Tokyo.
Me? Well... Japanese soldier? Why do you look so sad?
Japanese soldier, very unhappy, Santa Claus. Nipponese homeland suffer many ups and downs. Ups and downs.
Ups and downs?
Yes, pretty soon they change name of capital to Tokyo-Yo.
Well... Now tell Santa, how old are you, and what do you want for Christmas?
I am a 28, and I want a knife to commit harikiri.
Oh, now, only 28 and you want to commit harikiri? Why?
No one in Japan want to be 29. Thank you, Harry. You did a very good show. Oh, Leonard Seuss.
Yes, Mr. Kanner.
Come in, Leonard. How is the romance between you and Nora getting along, huh?
Well, that was our big Christmas surprise.
Yeah?
Nora spoke to her parents, and I spoke to mine.
Yeah?
Tomorrow, we're going down to get the license.
The license?
Yeah. Over the holidays, I'm taking Nora duck hunting.
Leonard, what do you mean hunting? You got a beautiful girl. You should be kissing her.
In front of all those ducks?
Wait a minute. Leonard, look, here's a surprise that'll make you even forget duck hunting.
A surprise?
Yes. I'm serious about this. The Magazine Digest of America has just voted you the outstanding musical discovery of 1944.
Gee, I hardly know what to say.
Well, you didn't get it for talking. You got it for playing that trumpet. So go ahead and give us your version of St. Louis Blues. Bonzel Jr., his first Christmas tree.
All's well. Eddie, you're a wonderful guy.
I'm
glad we made up after that crazy fight we had.
Yes, so am I. Harry, really, it broke my heart when I walked into that burlesque theater and saw you standing in the aisle. It really broke my heart.
It did?
Yeah, you were right in front of me. I couldn't see a thing. Really, honestly.
Well, I know, really, it wasn't a bad job I had, you know. Ben, I have here, for your delight, a famous Parisian chocolate bar with the nuts on the inside. Chocolate bar sells for the price of 10 cents,
Harry,
on this special holiday.
Harry,
get away, bud, you bother. Oh, excuse me.
Harry, look, you're back on the program again.
Yeah.
You're away from all that. That's old fashioned, is talking to people.
It's not good.
You see, nowadays people aren't interested in ballyhoo. They're interested in facts.
Facts?
Yes, the truth.
Now we find Eddie Cantor and Harry Bonzel shopping for Eddie Cantor Bonzel Jr.'s first Christmas tree.
There are a lot of trees around, Harry.
Yeah,
huh?
I was just... Hey, look at that real skinny-looking one over there.
Gosh, I never saw such awful-looking limbs in my life.
Yeah, I think they call that a spruce.
No, my name is Moigle.
It's Moigle, Harry!
I didn't keep you waiting.
No.
I was busy unpacking some of that stuff you stand under when you want to get kissed. You know, muscle toe.
No, Myrtle, it's not muscle toe. It's missile.
When I want to get kissed, I got to use muscle.
Wait, look, we want to buy a Christmas tree. How much are they?
Well, it's according to size.
Yeah.
The bigger the tree, the more money they are.
I thought I'd like that cute little tree over there.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Shall I wrap it up, or will you wear it on your lapel?
No. Never mind. It'll look beautiful when I decorate it. What do you think I ought to trim it with?
Another tree.
All right, Myrtle. Give him that $5 tree, and here's your money.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You've made a wonderful church.
Yeah.
After all, it's Christmas. The Yuletide season.
That's Yuletide. Yuletide, not Yuletide. Yuletide.
Well, whatever it is, I've written a poem about
you
it.
You have? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
I've seen a million Christmas trees. They're lovely and good-looking.
Good-looking?
Yeah.
Looking?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's better than usual, Ty.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
I've seen a million Christmas trees. They're lovely and good-looking. But the tree I yearn for most of all is the one that grows in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's right. Well, Lytle, thank you. Goodbye. Happy Christmas and Noel. Noel.
Don't say Noel to anyone from Brooklyn.
Oh, come on, Harry. Let's get over to your house.
Hey, gosh, this tree is heavy.
It is, Eddie?
Harry.
What?
Don't trim it while I'm carrying it. Get off. Get off, Harry.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
We're all through trimming the tree. Now let's get the presents under it, huh?
Oh, yeah, the presents.
Yes. Look at this music box I got for the baby.
A music box?
Yeah, a music box with the notes on the inside.
No. Oh, say, Eddie, speaking of the baby and Christmas presents, won't he be excited when he gets that $50,000?
Yeah, I... Huh? Well, Harry, what?
You know, the trust fund you promised.
A trust fund, Harry? A trust fund?
Now, Eddie Cantor, just a minute. All I want here is a yes or no. Did you put $50,000 in the name of Eddie Cantor Bonsell Jr.?
Well, Harry, to be very honest with you, I cut the amount in half. All right, Harry?
$25,000?
Yes.
Boy, you're well scored, Eddie. $25,000 for Eddie Cantor Bonsell Jr.
Well, Harry, since I cut the money in half, I also cut the name in half. So the bank has $25,000 in the name of Eddie Cantor. I keep it. You know me, kid. You know me.
When you make a buck, you keep it, too. Listen, I should have known better than to come back to work for you.
Harry, now don't get mad all over again.
You're an Indian giver. That's what you are, an Indian giver.
It's a lie. I never gave anyone an Indian in my life. I don't do that.
And stop making me laugh. Making light of a thing. You know what I meant. You promised to give my kid $50,000. My kid, him whom I named after you.
Harry, you don't understand. It's because I like you so much that I'm not giving the kid the money. Can't you see it? Can't you see it?
No. Because you like me, you're not giving the kid the money?
Yeah, don't you see? If I give him the trust fund, your kid's worth $50,000. In the meantime, you're working for me, and you know what I pay you?
Yeah.
Immediately in your kid's eyes, you're a bum. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you don't give the kid the money and I go on working for you...
Yeah?
I'm still a bum.
No, you're not, Harry. You're not. Every week I give you a tidy sum.
It's too tidy. Why don't you make it a little more bulky and sloppy?
Look, Harry, when we made up last week and you came back to work, I gave you an adequate sum of money, didn't
I? Adequate is right. Last week I had to quit to get it.
Yeah.
There's another thing. You just pay me a straight announcer salary. I don't get paid for those great jokes I throw in on the program.
Yeah, Harry, you don't get hit either, so stop beefing.
Well, you broke your promise to my kid.
I didn't.
Well, you did. There's nothing left for me to do but walk out again.
No, Harry.
Listen, my kid doesn't need your money. He doesn't need a nickel of it. But don't come around asking for tickets.
Tickets? What tickets?
When he's in Madison Square Garden fighting for the championship of the world, don't you come around for tickets.
Can I get one little seat in the balcony?
No. Nothing. I can see him in the ring now. The title is at stake. The bell rings. And my kid steps out. He leads with the left. He counters with the right. Both boys trading punches in the middle of the ring. And his...
Oh, it's a knockout. It's a knockout.
Harry,
who's knocked out?
I can't stand it. You look, Eddie.
I can't see. Remember, you wouldn't give me a ticket.
Will you look and see who it is, please?
Yeah. Harry, wait a minute. Harry, come down to earth, will you, please?
Huh?
Heavyweight champion. Your kid's only 6 weeks old. He's got one little tooth.
One little tooth? That other guy must have knocked the rest of them out. You see what you did? My kid's had to turn to the ring for a living. Get his teeth knocked out. Just because you wouldn't give him a measly $50,000. Listen, before I'd let him do that, I'd go back to my old job.
You don't mean...
Yeah. Sell my chocolate bars with the nuts on the inside.
Not that, Harry. Please don't cry. I'll give the kid the trust fund. I'll call up my lawyers tomorrow. Mankiewicz, 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 and Mank.
Mank?
Yeah, him they couldn't get on the door.
You going to give him the money?
Yeah.
Gee. I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, you don't have to thank me, Harry.
Oh, you see what we did? Hollering it. We woke up the baby.
What are you crying about, Eddie Cantor Bonsell Jr.? I bet you heard about the $25,000 trust fund.
Yeah!
$50,000. Goo. I love when he says that goo-goo. I bet you're trying to thank... I wonder what he's actually trying to say when he says goo-goo.
Good thing I'm not a fighter. If I was, I know the first guy I'd punch in the nose. Adequate. Adequate my job. P.U. I wish I was able to talk just so I could stop talking to my old man. That candy guy. Sure looks funny standing next to the Christmas tree. Hard to tell where the Christmas bulb ends and his eyes begin. I like Christmas. Monday, my mommy took me to the May Company and I saw Santa Claus. Tuesday, we went to Bullock's and I saw Santa Claus. And today, we went to the Broadway Hollywood. And Santa Claus was there. Poor Santa. Can't even keep a job. I sure hope Popeye's gives me that trust fund for Christmas. If I had $50,000, I could retire. Just sit in my carriage for the rest of my life. I'd have a private nurse with a big room of my own. Yeah, that's what I want. A nursery with a nurse on the inside.
Well, Nora Martin.
Hello, Mr. Cantor. Hello, Harry.
Nora, I'm glad you stopped over to the house. Are you all set for Christmas Eve?
Oh, yes. I already have my bottle hanging by the fireplace.
Bottle? You're supposed to hang up your stocking.
I use leg makeup.
Oh, perfect match for Lennox.
Well, kids, you know, all I want in my stocking is a bottle.
A bottle in your stocking, Harry? A bottle of what?
Truchet.
Oh.
Harry, Truchet is a hand lotion.
Yes, but Harry, I can't believe it. You mean to stand there and tell us that all you want in your Christmas stocking is a bottle of Truchet?
Yeah, with Betty Grable holding it.
Well, Harry, everything's set for the baby's first Christmas.
Yeah, all but one thing, Eddie. I've got to get somebody to play Santa Claus.
What's the matter with you, Harry?
Oh, well, I was going to play Santa Claus, Eddie. In fact, I gave it a lot of thought, yeah. But in the end, I decided I was too thin.
No comment, Harry. No comment. Look, but who are you going to get?
Well, I don't know. One fella answered my ad with this Christmas card.
A card? Let's see it.
Yeah.
If you need a Santa Claus to come down your chimney flue, then look no further, Father, because how do you do? Russian. Russian, you're a Santa Claus?
Why, most yes. Of course. Sure thing. Or, my friends, there's good news tonight.
Russian, listen, on... You mean that on Christmas Eve you'll come to my house with the reindeer?
Even if it should snow, dear. No.
Be serious, will you? This is Harry Von Zell's baby's first Christmas. You know how to handle little babies?
Up to a certain point.
Yeah, what do you mean?
At a certain point, I hand them back.
Really, you better get rid of him.
Let's give him a chance, Harry. Russian, what makes you think you're capable of being Santa Claus?
Well, you see, yes. Once a college engaged me to slide down the chimney of the boys' dormitory with presents for all the young men.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, you hear me?
Yes.
Somehow, I miscalculated and landed in the girls' dormitory.
Tell me, how did you do that?
Careful miscalculation. Yes?
You can't be a Santa Claus for our baby. You couldn't be Santa Claus anywhere.
Oh, I'd be a perfect Hollywood Santa Claus.
All right. What would you leave Humphrey Bogart?
A gun.
Edward G. Robinson.
Cigars.
What would you leave Hedy Lamarr? What are you waiting for? What would you leave Hedy Lamarr?
Who's leaving?
Eddie, listen, we're stuck now. Let him play Santa Claus.
Okay, Russian, I'll give you just $5 if you play Santa Claus for Harry's baby.
Mm. Listen, boss, Santa Claus, I don't mind to play, but every union Santa Claus gets $7 a day. Take my advice, pay the price, my suit out starts impressing. The OPA says you must pay for extra Russian dressing.
Let's use the Russian as Santa Claus.
No, he'll jazz it up. Look, Harry, I'll be Santa like I was last year. Remember the big tree we had and how beautifully it was decorated?
Oh, yes. It was pretty, Eddie. You remember when you gave out the Christmas presents around the tree there and Nora sang?
Oh, yes.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I wanted you to know where the trees are glistening and children listening to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
NBC in New York is ready to cut in with a special announcement. Will you stand by, please?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, New York. This is the Eddie Cantor Show in Hollywood, calling National Commander Edward N. Charbeling of the American Legion. Come in, New York.
Hello, Eddie Cantor. You have done a grand job in stimulating Christmas gifts for Yanks who gave. On behalf of more than 12,000 posts of the American Legion and over 9,500 auxiliary units, I extend our appreciation. I am happy to report the results. Through the combined inspiration of your weekly broadcast since September 27th, the cooperation of department stores, and the intensive work of Legion departments, posts, and auxiliaries, more than 1 million packages are now ready for distribution to men in hospitals. And we want you to know that 2 million men and women in the Legion and auxiliary units are proud, Eddie Cantor, to sponsor with you this Christmas gift campaign. The American Legion thanks you and your sponsors, the Bristol-Myers Company, and the Legion and auxiliary extends to all in the hospitals Yanks who gave best Christmas wishes.
Thank you, Commander Scheibeling. Thanks to each and every member of the American Legion and its auxiliary. This is one of the happiest moments of my life. And I know what it will mean to every sick and wounded man in the service hospital in the United States to know, when Christmas comes, that the people of America have once again proved that they will never forget those Yanks who gave.
I love to spend each Wednesday with you.
Listen in again next week at the same time, won't you? And in the meantime, don't forget the two products that make our Wednesdays together possible. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, and True Shave, the beforehand lotion. Sal Hepatica, True Shave. Good night and Merry Christmas to you all.
From December of 1944, it's been The Eddie Cantor Show. In a moment, 'twas the night before Christmas, suspense style, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, was first heard on CBS in June of 1942. It was on the air for the next 20 years under many talented directors. Each brought his own mark to suspense, making it one of the most diverse, unusually broad-based shows of the air. Suspense dealt in life or death situations. The element was usually established within the first few minutes. Then, through characterization and audio coloring, little touches were added to heighten the sensation of impending doom. That was what suspense was all about, the slow tightening of the knot. Suspense was known as an actor's theater. People like Cary Grant, Frederick March, Charles Laughton, Humphrey Bogart, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre, Henry Fonda, and Orson Welles headed the casts. Many top film stars were asked to return for encore performances. Suspense opened to the ringing of soft church bells intermingled with stinging music. By the fall of its first year, Joseph Kearns, a grim-voiced fellow known as the Man in Black, was aboard as narrator. The Man in Black had disappeared by the time the show went to 60 minutes in 1948. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with Suspense and 'Twas the Night Before Christmas from December of 1953. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a special program for this holiday season. The unusual dramatization of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, starring Miss Greer Garson, who appears by arrangement with MGM, producers of the new color picture, Knights of the Round Table. And now, Autolite presents transcribed 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Come on, wake up. Wake up, Kathy. It's the day before Christmas. Oh, and there's so much...
Miss Brock, it's light out already. You said you were going to wake me really early today so we could go to the airport and meet them.
Come on, up you get. Let's get you dressed.
Buffy, they're going to be waiting for me and you didn't wake me. I know what, they're home already.
Kathy.
Mommy! Daddy, where are you? Buffy, they're not in their bedroom. Where are they?
Kathy.
I know. I'll be out there in the kitchen already having the coffee. Mom. Miss Buff, they're not home.
I know, honey.
The clock in the kitchen said 8:30.
Kathy, here, put this on, dear. You told me you wanted to wear this dress today. So that's why I ironed it for you.
Miss Buff.
Yes, dear.
Why aren't they here?
Oh, they'll be here.
But when I talked to Mommy on the telephone yesterday, she said she would be here at 6 this morning. And I promised her I'd meet her at the airport, her and Daddy.
I know.
And Daddy said he had a surprise he was bringing for me all the way from Paris. It's 8:30, Buffy. Let's go out to the airport now.
Oh, but there's so many things to do. First, you've got to get your breakfast, and we have to finish decorating the tree. And, there's so many things I want you to help me with.
Oh, everything can wait, Buffy. Hurry, I promised to meet them.
No, dear.
Why not, Buff?
Well, I think we'll wait for them here. Kathy?
Yes?
You remember what you promised your mommy and dad? That you'd do everything I ask you while they were away.
Yes.
Then we'll wait for them here.
All right, Buffy. Yes.
I know.
Don't you think they might have called and told us they'd be late?
Oh, I'll go and make our lunch. You must be very hungry.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you didn't eat your breakfast, Kathy.
Miss Buff, I'm not hungry.
Look. Oh, look, it's snowing, honey. We'll have a nice warm lunch, and then we'll go out for a long walk. Hmm?
I should have called.
I tell you what, Kathy. We'll take our walk first. We'll see the shop. We'll visit. We'll go and see Johnny and your aunt and uncle. Maybe if it snows hard enough, we can all build a snowman. Wouldn't you like that?
Yes, that would be fun.
Well, go get your coat and hat and galoshes, dear.
All right. And when we come back, Mommy and Daddy will be home.
Well, you go and get your things now.
Oh, I'll get it, Buffy. Mommy. Oh, who's this, Daddy? It's, all from a newspaper. I see. It's a man, Buff. He says he wants to talk to an older person. Here.
Hello? Yes, this is the Harper residence. I'm the housekeeper. Well, just a moment, please. Kathy.
Who is it?
Someone wants to talk to me, honey. Will you go get your things?
No. Who are you talking to, Buffy?
Never mind, dear. Go and get your things.
No. No, I won't.
Hello? I see. Yes. Yes, I saw the papers. Yes, that was the daughter. Yes, the only child. No, she doesn't. No. No, no, I wish you wouldn't. Please, don't, here. No.
Who was it?
Just a man, honey.
From the newspaper. Why? What did he want?
Nothing.
He asked about me, didn't he? Why?
Honestly, honey, it was nothing.
It was about Mommy and Daddy.
Oh, wasn't anything important.
Well.
Yes, dear?
I don't know.
Look at that snow coming down, Kathy. Get your things, dear. Go on. Beautifully, Kathy.
Very lovely.
The street and all the decorations and the singers.
It's very lovely, Miss Buck.
Honey, here, give this to the man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Missy.
Let's go home now.
In a little while, don't you remember? We were going visiting, too.
Mommy and Daddy are probably home right now, waiting for me, wondering where I am.
And we'll build a snowman together, like I said. Come on, honey. I remember when I was a little girl, how excited I get. All the wonderful things to see, the sights and the smells and the sounds. Pretty shop windows and the snow. To be a little girl at Christmas time. To be young at Christmas time. And happy. And...
What's the matter, Buffy?
Oh, Kathy.
Buffy.
Let me hold you. Oh, Kathy, darling.
Buffy, you're crying.
I'm just silly, I guess. Why, look, there's Santa Claus watching us. Let's say hello to him.
You were crying.
Hello, Santa.
Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas, little girl.
Merry Christmas.
Well, you're a pretty little girl. What's your name?
Kathy.
Oh, that's a nice name for a nice little girl like you.
Thank you.
And I can tell you've been a good little girl. I saw the way your mommy was holding you.
She's Miss Buff. My mommy's away. Daddy, too. We're taking a walk to make them come home.
Oh, and where are they?
I don't know. I don't know.
Kathy, come in, darling. And Miss Buff, how are you? Come in, come in. Mother, guess who's here?
Why, Kathy and Miss Buff.
Hello, Aunt.
Hello, Mrs. Cleveland. Take your things off. We've got a big fire in the living room. And wait till you see our Christmas tree, Kathy.
I'm sure it's very beautiful.
I'll bet Kathy came to see her cousin Johnny, didn't she?
Yes, I did, Uncle Ted. I would like to see him very much.
You know what that boy of mine did, Miss Buff?
No.
He found the train.
Oh, he did?
That's right. Took so much trouble to hide them out in the garage, he found them. So, of course, I had to set them up for him. Well, it's the day before Christmas. He's in his room now, Kathy.
Yes, I would like to play with the train.
Of course you would. Jolly!
I can't come out, Daddy. I'm busy.
Kathy's here.
Hey, come on out and play
on
my train, Kathy. You ought to see. I got them all hitched up now.
Go on, Kathy.
All right.
I've been on the phone since 7 this morning, Miss Buff, and there just isn't any word at all about the plane.
Look!
A man from the newspaper called the house. I told him, stay away. Does the child know? I think she does.
What did you tell her?
Nothing. How do you tell a child?
Look at it go!
What I can't understand is why no word at all. The plane took off from Paris on time, and there was radio contact over Ireland, from what I could find out. But since then, nothing.
You'd better tell her, John. Tell me what?
Well, there was a storm over the ocean. Pretty bad storm. They said...
Miss Frost.
Yes, darling.
I just figured out something. It's about Mommy and Daddy.
Kathy.
They're not coming home. They're not ever coming home.
Bringing you Miss Greer Garson in "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Greer Garson in Elliot Lewis's production of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
It'd be good to get inside of the house, Kathy. Oh, look at you. You look almost like the snowman you and Johnny built. Here, let me brush you off a bit before we go inside.
There's a man there.
What'd you say, darling?
Right there, standing by the door. A man.
Hello.
Good evening, miss. Hello, little girl. Is this your house?
Yes, I live here.
Who are you? What do you want?
Well, then you'd be the Harper's little girl, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I asked you, who are you?
Now, don't worry about it, ma'am. I just want to take a picture of the little girl. You want your picture taken, little girl?
Bobby.
You're the reporter I talked to this morning, aren't you?
And we'll want one of you, too, ma'am.
Here, get in the house, Kathy. Don't stand there, dear. Get in the house. I'll be here in a moment. It's Christmas Eve, Mr. Reporter. Did you know that?
Oh, now, look, ma'am,
It's Christmas Eve. Where is your heart?
You've got to understand. I talked to you on the phone. It was almost 10 hours ago, before noon. It's nighttime already. There still isn't any word about the plane. I represent a newspaper, ma'am. We've got to assume... Well, you know, I don't want to say it any more than you do.
Oh, just go away.
Oh, now, really, I've got to...
Were you ever lonely on Christmas Eve? Alone in a house that meant... Well, outside, other people were singing. Well, there was warmth and love and joy. But outside...
I'm just trying to
Christmas
do my...
Eve... The snow is falling. Christmas Eve. And a child is grieving.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Good night.
It's in the living room, Buffy.
Full thought.
Yes?
Let's have a secret.
What, Buffy?
Let's not wait till tomorrow.
What do you mean?
We go to our tree and open some our presents now. Maybe just one. Hmm? Choose the one with the most beautiful wrapping. You can open it, and you can play with it now while I go and pick something for you to eat.
I'm not hungry, Bluff. Honestly, I'm not.
Oh, just some milk and cookies, honey. You haven't eaten
some. All right.
Well, let's choose. Go ahead, pick one.
All right. That one.
Hmm? It's from Mr. and Mrs. Anderson next door. Open it.
You open it, Buffy.
Very well. Oh, look.
Very nice.
A carousel. Well, I wind it for you. And we'll put it down here. Now. Oh, you watch it. When it runs down, you can wind it up again. I'm going into the kitchen. Kathy, here's your... Kathy,
Kathy, honey, where are you? Kathy? The milk and cookies are on the table. Kathy? Are you in your room, Kathy? Kathy? Kathy, honey? Kathy!
Miss Park.
Mr. Anderson, is Kathy here?
Well, I know. Is...
Would you mind asking Mrs. Anderson if Kathy's here? Maybe she came in through the back way.
Well, Mrs. Anderson and I have been sitting in the living room for the last hour. Well, what's the matter, Miss Park?
Kathy ran out of the house.
Oh, poor child. I can imagine how she must
well,
feel.
I thought she might have come over here next door. She just ran out of the house. I don't know where she is.
Oh, a child like that. And what's happened to her today? Wait. I'll get my coat, Miss Buff. I'll come with you. Paul, have you seen Kathy?
Sure. Where is she?
I don't know.
Where is she, Paul? Where did she go?
How am I supposed to know where she went?
But you saw her, didn't you?
Sure. She was running down the block. I yelled at her to come on over, but she kept running.
Which way, Paul?
Down there, I guess. Where the stores are.
Thank you.
Sure. Merry Christmas, Mr. Anderson. Merry Christmas, Miss Buff. Hey, what?
Miss Buff, and I'm the only one on the block who's open. Last-minute Christmas rush, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Rux.
Say, now, that kid and what happened to that plane today, I'd sure let the police know she was missing.
I think he's right, Miss Buff.
Call them, please. Call them.
Oh, use this phone, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. Hello, operator. Give me police. Oh, hello, police. I want to report a little girl who's missing. Kathy Harper. Well, she's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And... Oh, wait a second. I'll find out. You just go in the house, Miss Buff. I'm sure they'll find her.
It's 10 o'clock. They've been looking for 3 hours.
Well, they have ways. They'll find it.
We waited in that station house. All the policemen who phoned in. None of them.
Well, you just go in the house now. I'll send Mrs. Anderson.
No, really. I'd rather you wouldn't.
Well.
Good night, Mr. Anderson. And thank you.
Patrolman Reed, ma'am.
We found Kathy.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is she?
You better come with me, ma'am.
Look for that kid.
There we are. All tucked in.
It's almost Christmas, isn't it?
Yes, darling.
You're going to read to me?
Of course. You just lie there.
Buffy.
Yes, darling?
Nothing. Just read to me.
It was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring. Not even the mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Way to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer with a little old driver. So lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his course as they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the tops of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
Buffy! Mommy! Daddy!
Merry Christmas, Kathy!
Kathy, baby. Hey, it's Christmas. We don't cry on Christmas.
I thought, oh, baby.
Hey, how about a big hug for me?
Oh, Daddy.
That's my girl.
Where's Miss Buff? I was in bed. She was reading to me.
In bed's the place for you. Come on, I'll carry.
Buff, it's Mommy. It's Daddy.
I know, darling, I know.
Hello, Buffy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Buff.
We had to make an emergency landing in Newfoundland. A small field. Communications were shot. That storm.
Yes, yes. Let's not talk about it anymore now.
Buffy was reading me a wonderful thing about the night before Christmas.
Here. I'll put you in bed, Kathy. There. There you are. Read it to us, Buffy.
Hmm?
To all of us.
Oh, well, I lost my place. Read it, Buffy. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew with a sleigh full of toys. And St. Nicholas, too. And then in a twinkle, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back and looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. And turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. And I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Miss Greer Garson in a dramatization of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis. The music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Chorus was under the direction of Roger Wagner. In tonight's story, Anne Whitfield was heard as Kathy. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Irene Tedrow, Mary Lansing, Howard McNear, Herb Butterfield, Johnny McGovern, Sidney Miller, Joseph Kearns, and John Ramsey Hill.
And here once again is our lovely star, Miss Garson.
Carlo, thank you very much. And thank you, Anne Whitfield. While I have these few moments, may I join the Autolite family in sending holiday greetings to our friends everywhere. Merry Christmas, Harlow.
Merry Christmas, Greer. A Merry Christmas to all. And to all, a good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
From December of 1953, it's been Suspense and 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's program, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear, wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.